Let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together and listen to your word during this lunchtime. Quieten our minds from our busy day, cleanse us, and we pray that you may teach us what you want us to know, give us what you want us to have, and make us what you want us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a theological student decided that he would stop going to college one afternoon and do his shopping. So as he was coming down the hill in the afternoon, he saw the principal coming the other direction. And he was terrified. And as soon as the principal came to me, he said, "John, you ought to be at the class. What are you doing here?" So he said, "Sir, I have to do a lot of shopping. And I prayed about it. And the Holy Spirit told me that you must do the shopping this afternoon." So the principal looked at him and he said, "Well, one of you must be a liar, because it's half day closing." Well, some people treat prayer like that. And our theme for the next 2 days is prayer. And the title is, "What is it all about today?" Now, using an electric toaster for the first time, one husband burned the toast. So his wife taxed him with it. And he said, "Well, the bread popped up and I turned it around to do the other side." Well, knowing what it's all about may save us a lot of embarrassments or disappointments. So before I begin, let me stress strongly that the Christian prayer is different from the prayer of a non-Christian. Well, I was a Hindu for 35 years and I know it. Just imagine if Queen walks up from that door. I said, "Hello, Your Highness. I never knew you came to the city and sent here. Come on, sit down. Have a seat. Oh, by the way, I had an accident and I was in the court this morning. I was fined £60. Would you give me £60? She may or she may not give me. But on the other hand, if Prince Edward comes from behind and says, "Mummy, I want £20 to want to see Liverpool playing West Ham next Saturday." Would he get it? Of course he will. Because there is a relationship. He is a child. And there is a relationship involved. And in Matthew 7:9-14, he says, "Or what man of you," Jesus said, "or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You know, a real Christian is more than being a scholar in theology. I don't know whether you've seen the television, you know, to be a scholar in theology or punting or whatever it is. Do you know, wearing a dog collar, having a PhD, or any episcopal dignity itself doesn't make you a Christian. Well, being a Christian is more than coming to Tuesday on St. Helens. You know, it's more than being challenged by all that what Dick Lucas says every Tuesday and giving God a nod. "Yes, that's right, that's right." Well, it's more than reading the Bible, saying your prayers, or even wearing the right badge. You know, "Jesus loves you, baby. You know, Jesus loves you, baby." I mean, that doesn't make you a Christian. Well, what is it then? It is a living relationship, a living and right relationship with a loving God. If you love someone, it'll cost you. I'm sure it'll cost you. And we find the cross in the heart of Jesus and Jesus in the heart of a Christian. Now, let me share with you three pictures about the relationship that the Bible teaches us if you're a Christian. first for them. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Once you belong to Jesus, you become God's child. Secondly, you're a bridegroom. 2 Corinthians 11:2. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to Christ to present you as a pure bride to her one husband. The church is the bride of Christ and we are his bride. Jesus is our bridegroom. And thirdly, friend. John 15 verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So real Christian prayer becomes a family business. We are talking to our Heavenly Father. And any living relationship cannot grow without communication. Now just imagine if I get married and I have a lovely honeymoon. Come back to London and my office transfers me to Hong Kong. And I'm transferred to Hong Kong and my wife stays here. After 5 years, if I haven't communicated in any way to my wife, our relationship would not have grown very much, would it? Right? Well, we need to communicate. So our first heading, what is it all about? Our first heading, I've got three simple headings, what prayer is. And we have a few subheadings here. So let's look at them one by one. First, prayer is sharing a conversation with God. It is enjoying God's company. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, James 4:8. It's being with God, conscious of his presence near us, and having a conversation with him, sharing with him our thoughts and concerns, and listening to his still small voice. You know, I call my prayer time as my honeymoon. I'll tell you why, because I remember, you know, my friend, wanted to go for a holiday. He went for holiday to Canada. And his wife went to Cornwall, where his daughter was. Now, have you ever heard of a bride and a groom getting married and going for their separate honeymoon? It's impossible. You know, it's just being together. So our prayer time is being with Jesus, talking to him, sharing with him, listening to him, and enjoying his company. You know, there are times in my office when I'm under pressure. He's right beside me, encouraging me when I turn to him. And just as much he encourages me at then than I was at a prayer time or in church or kneeling down. Isn't it wonderful that we can talk to God all the time? Even when we are talking to somebody, we can say, God help me. What should I say? Help me, God. And you can cry out. He's an invisible friend, constant companion. Only the eyes of our hearts can see him. Nobody can. Not even the devil doesn't know what we are talking to him. So you see, prayer is more than kneeling down in church or in the quietness of your bedroom and saying a few words and say amen. It's much more than that. And you need not even close your eyes to say your prayers. I remember we were driving from Clacton with a group from my church and we had an evening guest service. So I told my friends, I'm driving. I said, look here, let's not waste the time. Let's pray. So Lily Williamson from behind said, Vijay, do what you like, but don't close your eyes. See, driving my car in the busy Oxford Street, I can talk to my wife, who is sitting at the back seat, and listen to her giving 100% attention to my driving. Well, I've got an instruction to my backseat driver. You know, there's a card, instruction to backseat driver. And if you open it up, he says, shut up. Well, some people treat God like that, you know. Always talking to him without listening. You know, you need a little bit of that also when you are reading the Bible and praying. Well, if I'm having a conversation with you, would you like it if you can't get a word in edgeways? Yap, 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 yap all the time. You wouldn't like it, would you? And God loves me more than anyone else in this world. More than I love myself. He knows everything about me. Do you know, if my wife knows everything about me, what I did in the last 7 days, what I thought in the last 7 days, she'll divorce me on the spot. But God knows everything about me and still considers me precious. I'm his child. And he loves others too. My family, my friends, my relations, my colleagues. More than I could ever love them. You know, when you realize this, God is the easiest person to talk to or to listen to. You know, in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18 says, how precious, Psalm 139, 17 and 18 says, how precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. So first, prayer is sharing a conversation with God. He's always thinking about me. And secondly, prayer is sharing God's work. Prayer is sharing God's work. Prayer is sharing with God in the extension of his kingdom. And sharing with him in taking care of the family of God. Welfare of the family. And isn't it a thrilling joy to know that we who are in Christ belong to the family of God. And we can pray for each other, share each other's burden, and work together for the extension of God's rule in the lives and homes of more and more people. Do you know the greatest joy for me is to pray for my brothers and sisters? It takes 5 years sometimes of my prayers are answered, but it does answer. Do you know, I ran away from India to run away from my relations. You know, you yap yap and you're caught up in the crossfire even if you don't want to get involved. But I don't mind being locked up with you lot for the rest of eternity. We are one family. We are locked up for eternity. Do you know, when I go to speak somewhere, I go like an iceberg. You know, an iceberg. What they see is the 5% me. What they don't see is the 95% of the prayer support of other Christians. And others are sharing in God's work. And prayer is sharing God's work. And it can be hard work too. Because it's a spiritual warfare against the principalities and the powers of darkness. And it's jolly hard work and demands our best efforts in concentration. You know, the devil doesn't give an inch without a fight. Now, mind you that. Nothing happens in spiritual life without a fight with the devil. He's always at hand. And Satan does nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Even when a weak Christian like me kneel down and pray, his kingdom trembles. Now, can you imagine what will happen if all of us who come to Tuesday put our hearts and minds to pray for God's work in the city? My, God can and he will turn the city upside down. Hundreds and thousands of people will praise God and worship him instead of using his name for bad language. And we will have a revival in our hands, I'm telling you. What I want you to do is, when you go home, you look at Ezekiel 36, 22 to 37. Ezekiel 36, 22 to 37, 14. Mark it if you're making notes. And think about it. Ezekiel 36, verse 22 to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14. Meditate on it when you get home tonight. It'll be the best time you would have spent on with the Bible. But let me also recommend you a tape. You know, it's given by Dick Lucas here at St. Helens this year. I've already listened to six times in my car. I think it's a masterpiece. If you want to order it, it's SM8422, Sunday morning, 8422. And the title is, How All Great Christian Work Begins. Listen to it and you'll never regret it in your life. What I've done is I've made about 20 copies here. All you have to do is to take one home and listen to it and bring it back next week if you want to. If you want, you can give me the names in here. You don't have to fill any form. Just give your name. It doesn't cost you anything. Just take it, listen to it, and bring it back when you can. It's revolutioned my life. How all great Christian work begins. Let me also recommend you one book which I have been most helped with. The Power of Prayer. Power of Prayer by R.A. Torrey. It was recommended by Dick Lucas in one of his sheets when he gave on prayer here. Give one to each one of your PCC members. You know, buy one. It'll be the best money you invested. Or give it to your deacons or your... Put it into practice. Read it. And share God's work through prayer. You know, prayer is sharing God's work. The letter I write in the office, or the letter you write in the office, it'll go into the dustbin after about 5 years. Not 5, maybe my case, but it may be 5 years or 10 years. The deal you clinch, the house you build, the gardens you tend so diligently, the decorations you do in your house, the promotions you achieve, how long are they going to last? And you kick the bucket in no time. But the work you do with God in prayer, you're investing for eternity. Do you realize? The time you spend on your knees, you're investing for eternity. So thirdly, prayer is worship. Prayer is sharing a conversation with God who loves us so much. Prayer is sharing God's work, building for eternity. And prayer is worship. Prayer is worship. Sharing with God our admiration and our adoration for Him. If only you could think, if only you could meditate what salvation means. You know, many of us, many times, don't do that. If only we can think what we have been saved from. If you can think of the biggest number, multiply it and square it and put it in the computer and do what you like. Even that is a scratch for eternity. And we can be with God forever and ever and ever. Look at one side glance at the universe. The mind boggles of His power and His energy. Read your Bible. You can't help but excited. See, prayer is worship. Telling God how great He is. How wonderful He is. How loving He is. And how pure and perfect He is. Giving God the praise and glory that is due to Him. And saying thank you in words, attitude, and worship. You know, we often teach our children to say thank you and be English, but treat God like a bog, very oriental gentleman. Never even say thank you. In our attitude, you know, sometimes I think prayer is another way of telling God that we have all confidence in Him and no confidence in our native powers. And our spiritual life cannot work on a do-it-yourself basis. It is weak men who cry to God. I'm weak, that's why I'm praying. Don't you be ashamed to say you're weak. Yes, we are weak. That's why we cry to God. And Jesus said in John 4:23 to the woman near the well, God is seeking our worship in spirit and in truth. God is waiting for us to pray to Him. So prayer is taking hold of the willingness of God rather than overcoming His reluctance. God is prepared to give us more than we are prepared to ask Him. Let me read two passages. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, now to Him, Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who by the power of work, power at work within us, is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask and think. More than we can pray, more than we can imagine. James 1:5, if anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given him. Do you know the story of the man who had a friend who came to meal, and that he went and knocked at his next door neighbor? Come on, give me some food. And Jesus told the story. His door was closed. He was asleep. And he said no. But if you look at Psalm 121, if you look at the gospel, we are told that God is never asleep. His gates are never closed. And He'll never say no unless He wants to give you something better or teaches us something precious. You know, Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You know, we looked at together what prayer is. Positive points. Now, to drive the point home, the Bible also often looks at negatively. He used negatively. And the next main heading is what prayer is not. What prayer is not. And a few headings here. First of all, it is not a shopping list. Prayer is not presenting a shopping list. Yes, most of our prayer meetings are sadly just that, isn't it? When you walk in from the beginning to end, gimme, 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 or one, 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 one. You know, we often treat God like a heavenly butler. Well, what can I do if you go to a prayer meeting? Of course you can. If you find there is all a shopping list, all you can say is, Lord, thank you for your greatness and majesty. You can put in that little extra bit and others will catch up. One man can change the prayer meeting and the attitude of people. We often treat God like a heavenly butler. Prayer is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Means interceding for other people, asking for other people. You know the famous acts, I don't have to tell you. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and asking for other people. Secondly, prayer is not just what I want to do, what I want God to do, but also what God wants to do through me. Not my will, but your will. In other words, prayer is not a nagging session. It's a united work. I don't know, when my wife came here, she was a hard-working, submissive, obedient, husband-worshipping little Indian girl. She mixed up with the natives. She nagged, nagged, nagged like anything. Should have never introduced her to the natives here. You know, sometimes, you know, we always, you know, get this, we want things. See, it's not what I want. Then it becomes nagging. It's what God wants. So it is not a shopping list. It is not my will. Thirdly, prayer does not win God to our view, but reveals God's view to us. Prayer does not win God to our view, but reveals God's view to us. Fourthly, prayer does not condition God, but it conditions us. See, when we are praying, we are being transformed. Because prayer is not purchasing things from God. It is not a gift given to a few people. Prayer is not a gift given to a few people. It is absolute essential of every real disciple of Jesus Christ. He wants to pray. He needs to pray. It is an absolute necessity. It is not a gift given to a few people. Well, prayer is not just a few minutes on your knees, but it is your whole life. Prayer, the whole attitude of our life, is a worship to God. Well, our third heading. What prayer is, what prayer is not. Why prayer? Why prayer? Let me introduce you or share with you with a verse that I have been quite taken up by and helped me tremendously in the recent months. And it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 12. I alone, I'm quoting from Good News Bible because I've learned it by heart. I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. See, God has a plan for us. And it's for prosperity and not disaster. Plan to bring about the future you hope for. Now, his words to Jeremiah at that time, we can use it today. See, he has got plan for every one of us. Every committed Christian is called by God. Our names are written in the book. Psalm 39 says, even before the days began, it's all charted my path in the book of God. But what excited me there was, it is not when I come and pray to him, he will have a plan for me. He's already got a plan. See, I alone know the plan I have for you. Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. Not that we have, when we pray, God will have a plan. God has already got a plan. But in order to accomplish that plan, we need to come to him and pray. Then he will answer you. You know, God had a plan for his son. Even from Genesis 3, we are told that the son will crush the serpent. Well, but it wasn't all plain sailing for Jesus, was it? Let me share with you a few verses. Matthew 14:23. After sending the people away, Jesus went up a hill by himself to pray. Mark 1:35. Very early in the next morning, long before the daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out to the town to a lonely place where he prayed. Mark 6:46. After saying goodbye to the people, Jesus went away to a hill to pray. Luke 5:16. When Jesus would go away to a lonely place where he prayed. Luke 6:12. At that time, Jesus went up a hill to pray and spent the whole night there praying to God. If that's not enough, Luke 9:18. One day when Jesus was praying alone, the disciples came to him. Luke 9:28. About a week after he had said these things, Jesus took Peter and John and James with him and went up a hill to pray. Luke 22:39. Jesus left the city and went, as he usually did, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples went with him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And there he prayed. That sweat of blood was coming from his brow. Now, I hope you got the picture. If Jesus, God's son, God incarnate, the second person in the Trinity, God himself, if he had to pray in order to accomplish the plan, how much more we less mortals need to pray in order to accomplish the plan God has for us. And on top of it, the Holy Spirit commands us in the epistles and Acts to pray. Then experience shows that God does act through prayer. You know, men who have moved the world for God are those who have spent most time with God alone in prayer. Christian biography, if you look around, abounds with the illustration of the fact that men who have moved the world for God have been men of sustained prayer habits. And prayer does matter. Psalm 127, verse 1, says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, watchman stays awake in vain. I don't know. When I became a Christian, I was in my local church. I was excited about it, and they put me in the PCC. I don't know whether you know what PCC, parish church council, or group of elders, or the leaders of the church. And I went and joined them, and 2 years I suffered. What a bore! You know, like, they all argued, who put light in the toilet, who did that, you know, boom, 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 boom. And I sat down and I suffered. And about 2 years afterwards, I said, one evening, I said, well, I can't understand you, Lord. You're a funny race, aren't you? The English are a funny race, you know. So I said, what do you mean? Well, what are you here for? Are you not here for God's work? They said, yes. Then why don't we meet for prayer? They said, why not? See, we've got 24 committed Christians in the PCC, or no passengers, they're all able men, responsible job, committed Christians. But they never thought about it. So they discussed each other, and then we began to, change our meeting. They decided that we'll meet every month, third week of the month. And we prayed for an hour and a half, from 7:30 to 9:15, or 7:45 to 9:15. It was 7:30. They changed it into 15 minutes late. About 1 hour to 1.5 hours, we'll pray. And what a difference it made. You know, before 24 men all came with a beast in the bonnet. You know, we have done it this way, we'll do it this way. Nobody's going to change it. But when we have prayed for 1.5 hours, all the beasts are dead. And we are waiting to listen to each other. I have gone with fixed ideas. And after we have prayed for 1.5 hours, God has changed my mind. We are one family now. You know, before, we were 24 men, all rowing a boat, round and round the mulberry bush. When we work, we work. But when we began to pray, we put the sail up. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And what a difference. My time is up. I've got a point why my prayers are not answered. I think we'll skip that and we'll come to conclude. You know, there is much more in prayer than getting things done. God uses our prayers as a means of teaching us more about himself. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he takes our thoughts as they come to him in prayer and patiently goes through them with us as we pray and to point out where we are wrong. And he makes them his own, little by little. Now, by this means, as we pray, we are learning more the mind of God. We are learning to make his interest our interest, his wishes our goal, being conformed to the image of his Son. When we die and meet the Lord, we all have to die one day, 20, 30 years, not very long. We may be surprised to find out that of all the things we have done, Nothing has achieved more for the kingdom than time spent on our knees sharing together with God in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die for us on the cross, that you have given us immediate acceptance into your presence, washed by his blood. You are listening to us now. You have always considered us precious in your heart. We thank you that we can talk to you. We can share with you our concerns. We can worship you in spirit and in truth. We can work with you for the extension of your kingdom in the city. Father, teach us to pray. Give us that great burden for those who are lost in the city, that we may come and pray the way you want us to. All these things we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.